Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Wednesday night I shared my testimony of the path that God has taken me from salvation to where we find ourselves in this day. And it's only because I made a choice to allow God to plant me right where I needed to be planted and to get the water from the source that I needed to get water from. Because if not, we would be like I would be like a sapling that springs up. You know, if you don't mow your yard, we get all these saplings, and then the drought comes. You know what happens to those? They dry up. They die. Or we mow them down. But if you're planted by the river of water, if you're planted in God's word, if your relationship with him is strong, and we grow and we become this mighty tree and this mighty fortress for God, not because of who we are, but because of the source that runs through us. So today, as we get into this passage, I just pray that we're going to see two paths. We're going to see two areas that you can be planted, I guess you could say. You can see a path that maybe you once were on, maybe a path that you're on today, or maybe you're still on the path that you were born on and you can't figure out why your road is so messed up. And I'm not saying that once you become a Christian that your road's not messed up and you don't have bumps in the road, but you're going in the right direction. So today for fathers, I just have some statistics really quick. Found these are probably most people know these, but according to some sources, when a man is the first in the family to convert to Christianity, the first to get saved, 93% of his family follow. That's staggering, y'all. That's huge. Because listen, in contrast, when a child is the first to convert, only 5% of the family follows. And I think about that in my life. Is I got saved, my parents and most of my family are not walking with the Lord. Some of them may say that they are saved, but I don't know. And when a mother is the first, 22% may follow. Additionally, research suggests that when a father regularly attends church, his children are more likely to attend as well. It's true. According to another research group, Father's Day is the holiday with the single lowest average church attendance. Lower than Labor Day, Memorial Day, and even the 4th of July. What's interesting is that Mother's Day tends to be the third highest attended church day. It follows Easter and Christmas. What does this tell us? Let me read another passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 9. I pray this encourages us. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them up for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Fathers, we got to be teaching our kids the word. We got to be about the word. We have to be walking with Jesus, and we got to be teaching them and showing them the way too. So even if you're not a dad in here today, it doesn't make any difference. God's word, it's going to apply to us today. So chapter 4, verse 17 through 24 is where we're going to be today. And this has been a really cool chapter just to kind of study just the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Church, it's dealt with diversity in the church. It's offered us insight on maintaining a healthy environment within the body of church because, you know, it's sometimes it's difficult with all us peculiar people working together for God's glory for it to, he can do it. So, but each of these elements make up a healthy church. Unity, diversity, a good environment. And Paul was well aware, as we're going to see in the text today, of the transformation that takes place when someone meets Jesus. It's crazy. It's mind-blowing. It will drive people out of your life. It will rock people's world when someone becomes a Christian, when someone gives their life to Jesus, when Christ comes inside of us, dwells inside of us, we become a new creature. It's radical. It can't even be explained, and you all know that if you're born again today. The body, the flesh, continues on as long as we live, and it's something that we will battle. It's something that we'll war against the remainder of our days, okay? We're changed. We're a new creature, but we still have our own, you know, our will. God gives us our will, and we can make choices, but that doesn't give us an excuse to just say, well, those who are transformed by the gospel, as we're going to see today, will display a change. It's going to display a change, and it will be evident for everyone to see. It's not going to be like, I wonder. No, you're going to be able to tell if someone's born again or not. One cannot come to Christ's salvation apart from transformation. The old man of sin is crucified. The new believer is resurrected and new creature in Christ. The old man has passed away and the new man has sprung up and with new life. And we know this because that's what Scripture says. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, we'll get to our text, I promise. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is amazing. That power us. That should energize us to get after living. So today, the title of this message is that simply there will be a noticeable change. There will be a noticeable change from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. 2 points today. The reality of an unbeliever and the renewing of a believer, okay? Because the reality, as we're going to see in point one, is that everyone needs salvation. We're born into this life. Very elementary text here. We're born into this life in need. We can't help it. Immediately, we become a needy person, okay? Some of us are like, I know some needy people. Well, we're born into this world in need of salvation. We cannot help it. There's nothing that can change or that we can get around in order for that to happen. So the reality is we need Jesus. Let's just read our text so we can get going. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, okay, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that's what we're doing. We put off the old man. We allow you to cut it away, to destroy it. We bury it. And God, we get after living by putting on the new man and walking in the newness of life. And I pray today, if there's somebody here that doesn't have newness of life, that doesn't have a true relationship with you, that today would be that day. And today would be the beginning of their new walk, their new life. And God, we just pray that you're honored and glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we live in a society that that wants us to be politically correct, right? We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. We don't want to do anything that would just cause any kind of anything. And that's just the world that we live in. It's soft, is what it is. It makes us cowards. It makes us soft. It makes us not speak truth, is what it does. To be politically correct, can't really speak the truth of God's word. Okay, I'm just saying. But that's the society we live in. But Paul wasn't politically correct at all. Okay, that's what's cool about God's word. is that Paul's word is a little contrary to today's standards, but they're theologically sound. They are, it's truth. It's good doctrine. But it's hard to speak truth in our life today because we just simply don't want to offend anyone. So instead of speaking truth, we say, I'm not going to offend them today. And what we're doing is we're just allowing them, if they're not saved, we're allowing them to continue on the path straight to an eternity in hell. And God has placed us in someone's life to speak truth and not worry. We're not the one offending. We didn't write the Bible, okay? God just says, go teach it. Go speak it. Go share it. Go live it. That's what he wants us to do. We didn't write this. So we're not the one that's doing the offending, okay? God, if you want to look at it like that, God is, okay? But it's not offending. It's love is what it is. So he spoke of a few things here, okay? The first thing that he spoke of is their emptiness in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like those rascals, okay? Don't walk like those lost people. Don't act like those lost people that you're around. Why? It says, not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Their emptiness. As Paul challenged the church to walk differently, all of us probably know, all of us know people that are lost, okay? All of us know people that don't know Jesus. And the reason that we know them is so that we can share truth with them, okay? Not so that we can act like them. Not so that we can be morons. Not so that we can get involved in the things of this world. And my biggest pond or lake, whatever you want to call it, fishing hole, is the community that I am involved in with softball. And it would be really easy to act like a bunch of fools like all those people that are playing softball, right? Because I'm competitive. And sometimes my competitiveness gets a little bit crazy, okay? I'll just put it that way. But I'm not out there dropping the whoop whoop, you know, whatever words that just fly out of people's mouths, okay? It's not who I am. I'm not walking like other Gentiles walk. We shouldn't act like those that we're trying to reach. Because how are we going to reach them if we're like, well, I'm just going to morph into who you are, become your best buddy, and then I'm going to try to bring Jesus into it. No, you can't do it. It doesn't work. That doesn't work. Because they're going to be like, well, you were just acting like a moron like I was acting like. You were just like me. And now you're trying to tell me that it just doesn't work. So don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Walk as Jesus walked. And walk right up into their life and bring love and joy and peace and God's word into their life. Vanity just simply means empty. They're empty. They're senseless. They're aimless. They're unsuccessful. They're worthless. That's harsh. That's what the word vanity means. Paul realized that these walked within the emptiness of this life in contrast to the believers and who live in the fullness and of Christ, and it is evident believers think and reason differently than unbelievers, okay? That's obvious. Our behavior is typically a reaction to the desire of our mind. We think something, and what do? We do it. We say it. Or sometimes we say it, and then we're like, maybe I should have thought about that. Happens to me a lot. Like, man, how come I just slow this thing down? Well, think about it. Start using the brain, Brad. Start using the thing that God gave you. Use it as a filter because it controls what comes out of your mouth, but sometimes you allow your mouth to control what's going into your, it's just a vicious thing. Don't act like the people that are vanity of the mind, right? That are empty, that are just clueless because believers, we have the truth. We're not clueless, okay? We don't have the vanity of our mind. We don't have emptiness of our mind. We have all that we need right here. The choice that we have is to get it from here into here, right? To get it in so that we're not empty, so that God's word filters what we say. And what we begin to say begins to represent Him and begins to glorify Him instead of whatever else comes out. Mankind tends to act out that which is developed in the mind. And if you think about Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil." This was a wicked time, y'all. And we know what happened after this. But you know what kind of days we're living in right now? I mean, my goodness. It's a good thing he promised, right? It's a good thing he promised. I won't do that again. But the days are getting shorter. We shouldn't allow the imaginations of our thoughts to control us. Don't allow what we devise in our hearts and our minds carried out in action in our body. That's what lost people do. That's what people that don't know Jesus do. Why? Because they don't know any better. Okay. We don't judge them by, "Man, you act like a moron." No, that's all they know is how to be a moron. I was a moron for a long, long, long time. Sometimes I still act like a moron. But the fact is, we have the ability to not be like that anymore if you're born again. But we choose to, I think today I just want to act like I used to act. He spoke of their blindness in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Unbelievers lack understanding because of the blindness of their heart. The Greek word behind being darkened is a perfect, darkness implies both ignorance and immortality, is what it means. Ignorance or immortality. The blindness of their heart, darkness, just means they're ignorant. And ignorant, we think of the word ignorant as like a bad word, okay? Like, we shouldn't tell people they're ignorant. Ignorant just means lack of understanding, lack of knowing. These have not been enlightened to the truth of the gospel. Or maybe they've rejected the truth. And they're living in spiritual darkness apart from God because of the condition of their heart, okay? Lacking spiritual discernment, lacking godly desires, these live in a willful, sinful life. That's what they choose. That's what, if you're not born again today, that's what you're choosing. If you are born again today, that's what you used to choose. The only hope for those hearts that are blinded to the truth of the is for the Holy Spirit to enlighten them with the truth of the gospel. And that's why it's so important for us not to morph into them, not to act like them, but to be Christ-like, to be what a Christian is, and to come into their life with the light of the gospel and illuminate it so they can see it and clearly communicate it in a way that's understood, right? We don't have to make it up. Larry can tell you exactly where the gospel is, and it's so simple. Because it's already done. All it takes is faith and belief. That's the only hope. The only hope is the gospel. Many have denied and rejected the truth so long that their conscience has been seared. So long that it's just, we're never going to reach them. That's what begins to be said. They're unreachable. I've shared the gospel with them 20 times. Share it 26. We're not the one that unsears the heart. God is. God's word, as I shared on Wednesday night, is, man, it's powerful. And it is exactly, it's like an arrow that is shot directly into the bullseye. And it will dissect. It will do whatever it needs to do to get where it needs to get. He also spoke of their sorrow, right there in verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Paul declares that these are alienated from God Why? Due to ignorance that is in them. These are separated from God, totally and utterly alienated from Him. These do not communicate with God. They have no fellowship with God. Their lives are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Thus, they have no guide to lead them except for their flesh. And in thy flesh dwelleth no good thing. They live according to the desires of the flesh rather than the directions of the Word of God. And I remember very clearly this sad state of existence in my life. I remember very clearly what it was like to walk without Jesus. I remember very clearly the things that I was involved in, the things that I was hurting people with, the things I was hurting myself with. I remember that so clearly. Why? Because God was absent in my life. I had no relationship with Him. I was just like them. I was ignorant. But the thing is, I was ignorant because I chose to be ignorant. Because I had people that had shared some truth in my life. I didn't want to hear it. I had this cage around my heart. It wasn't time. But God knew exactly when the time would be. He spoke of their hard heart, verse 19. Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to the work of uncleanness with greediness. Paul reveals the perilous condition of those that are apart from Christ. It's a mess. We all could probably, most of us can testify what it was like to walk without Jesus. It was a disaster. In my life, it was a complete disaster. On the outside looking in, maybe it didn't look so bad. But on the inside, you can ask my family, it was a disaster. It was not good. Because my heart was hard. I was exposed to the truth just as these had been exposed to the truth, but made a willful decision to reject it just like them. These had moved past the feeling of conviction because, you know, all of us experience that feeling of conviction, like, I shouldn't do this. Oh, well, let's do it anyway, right? And what happens is the more that we do that, the more we sear it. And searing it is just like, the more times we sear it, this would be like searing a steak 10 times. Nobody would want to eat that thing. It would be disgusting. It would be like jerky, okay? But our heart, the more times that we ignore the conviction that God has in our life, the more times we sear that, the easier it will be to do, just to keep doing it. And we don't really, and then before you know it, there is no conviction. Before you know, we're acting like a lost person again, just like these other Gentiles that we're speaking of here today. Their lives are lived in service to the God of pleasure, little g God, not big g God. The God of pleasure, being bound in the gravity of sin, whatever that sin may be. I can't help but to think of the United States of America, the state that we find ourselves in today. The world that we live in today. How does this not reflect the disturbing picture that Paul has presented with these verses? It's so evident that this is what's happening today. There's no moral compass in America. It's out of control. It is completely out of control. Just like the days of Noah, the imagination is only evil continually. All you have to do is go outside, and you're like, what is going on in my world? I truly believe that we've become like the day of Judges. Every man does that which is right in their own eyes, right? That's it. This is what I want to do. Today, I want to be a cat. Well, that's just ignorant, okay? That makes no sense whatsoever. I'm just saying, and if I'm offending you, I'm sorry, but it's just not true, okay? In your eyes, that's what we're saying in the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And you can enter whatever. You don't have to enter the camp. My kids came home from school one day and told me this, and it still blows my mind to this very day. These folks, these other Gentiles, are in desperate need of faithful believers like you and I to consistently live and proclaim the truth in their life. Not just once, not just twice, but every single day. Be consistent. Be consistent. Just keep proclaiming the gospel with your life, with your lips, with everything that you've got. Which brings us to our second point, the renewing of the believer. Okay? There's always bad news and there's always good news. The bad news is we're lost, we're born into this world lost. Good news is there's hope. Okay? The good news is God has a direction for your life. All you have to do is believe the gospel, right? Accept it. Allow God to live inside of you. Believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By faith, accept that it was for you because you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you're separated from a holy God, and be renewed. It's a complete contrast to the other Gentiles that we see here. The difference is huge. And this is where the title, there will be a noticeable change in your life. Because if you're living today and say, I'm born again, but you look just like the person that was lost, something's wrong. Now, can it happen? Yes, it can happen. Because there's no one helping to invest. You're not in God's word. You accepted the gospel and got to getting. That's it. But there's so much more to this life than that. You must be renewed. The Bible, man, has to be alive in your life. He spoke of their confirmation here, okay? But ye have not so learned Christ if ye be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul, here he describes the characteristics and the reality of the unbeliever, that it's completely contrast to the believer. They're different. They're two different people. These behaviors, thoughts, attitudes are not of Christ, okay? Those of the other Gentiles. That is not of Jesus. Now, does that mean that once you get saved, you're never going to do something like you did before? No, that's not true. Man, it would be so awesome if that was the case. If that when you got saved, God turned you into a robot, and he's like, you're only going to do perfect things. You will only do my will with your life. You will only march when I say march. You will only talk. We're not robots, okay? Now, I'm not justifying stupid stuff that we do. I'm not justifying any sin that we may do. What I'm saying is that we have a choice. We have a choice. And if you're born again, you have power. Do not discount the power that lives inside of you. Because the power is what gives you the ability to say, no. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to act like a fool. No, I'm not going to partake in that. No, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. It gives us the power to say yes to Jesus, okay? Just like as I talked about on Wednesday night. All of the things that God has done in my life had nothing to do with me except for him giving me the desire to say yes. Say yes. Just keep saying yes. Just keep saying yes. Just keep, and he'll keep growing you. He'll keep investing in you. He'll keep using you. He'll keep kicking you along. I read this little tidbit as I was doing some research this week, and I have no idea who wrote this. I'm not taking credit for it, but someone wrote this. I think it was in a book, but it was just like a little snippet. It was when I was looking up some things about statistics for men, but this tied right in. But it says, during World War II, when a bomb damaged a store or a commercial enterprise, the Dodge proprietor would most likely clear the way the worst of the rubble, board up the broken windows, clear a space for the merchandise, and put up a sign that said, business as usual. And such a sign said a lot about the commendable determination of the shopkeeper to keep going, but such a sign would be most inappropriate for Christian life. We are not to conduct business as usual. We should have a sign that says, under new management. Not just keep going the way you're going. He also spoke of an expectation. He's a good father. And you know what good fathers do? They expect their children to do things. They expect, God expects asks something from us. Not as to like pay him back, but to be obedient. So there's an expectation that you, in verse 22, you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's an expectation. Put it off. I've preached numerous sermons on these verses, verses 22 through 25. So, but this is different, okay? But he expects us to put off the old man. To put it away. We're to literally cast off the former conversation, the life, the conduct, the behavior, the old man. Why? Because the old man's corrupt, filled with deceitful lusts. Wednesday night, Jeremy asked, why did you name the church New Life Baptist Church? So I took him to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. That's why. That's who we are. Why are we here? So that we can take the gospel into someone's life and watch God transform them. That's why. There's an expectation, and God expects us to do that. He expects us to be about his business. And he also expects us to be a new creature and to act like it. And remembering that the old things are passed away, the meaning they're dead, and what happens to dead things is they begin to rot and stink. Stay away from them, right? And then walk in the newness of life every day. The old man of sin and the desires, man, they hold no value. No value whatsoever for a believer. Now, we like to hold on to things because of what makes us comfortable, right? When God says, let it go, and we say, okay, all but this, I'm going to keep this part. That's not obedience. And it's sin. And he expects us to just let it go and get going. Why would we return to the cemetery? Why would we keep digging? This is repetitive. I know. We've heard this many times. But why would we go back to the cemetery and dig up the old man and say, I have a question for you. I need some guidance from you. Can you help me? That's not smart. Because the old man would be like, yes, I sure can. Let me give you some guidance. Let me tell you where to go. Let me tell you what to be involved in. And it's not going to be right. It's going to feel good. It's going to make us happy. But instead, instead of going to the cemetery, man, we need to go to the throne. We have to crucify the flesh daily. We have to walk in communion with the Savior. He also spoke of transformation. In verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, transformed. As he continues showing us a great contrast between believers and unbelievers, Paul reveals the vast difference in the mindset here between the two of them. The mind of the believer is no longer focused on lust of the flesh and the pleasures of this life. His mind is settled on Christ, seeking those things which are above, okay? Like it says in Colossians chapter 3. Because if not, we begin to focus on things. We must be fully submitted to the will and the purpose of the Lord. Can't help but think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How awesome is that? How awesome is it to know that we can have the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How? By putting it in, okay? By doing some work, by putting in some effort and allowing the God of this word to dwell in us. Man, to just let it fill us. We know that passage goes on and talks about what Christ did and his obedience to the cross and how he took upon the form of a servant and became obedient unto death. And man, he was just fully obedient to God. Why? Because that was what he was sent to do. And he was also sent to show us how to do it. And now we ought to be fully submitted to God as well. We must possess that kind of frame of mind in our life. Because if we don't, we're gonna go talk to the wrong person. We're gonna go right back to the grave. We're gonna go right back to the old man and say, I need some advice. I don't feel like being transformed the way that I should be. So can you conform me? Because that's what the old man's waiting to do, is to conform us and not transform us. He spoke of sanctification in verse 24. We're almost done. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's created in righteousness and true holiness. That is powerful. We get to be clothed in that. That we put on the new man that is righteous, that is holy. That we don't walk around and say, look how righteous and holy I am. But we walk around and our life says, man, look how Christ-like I am. Look at how close I'm walking with Jesus, because I've chose to put on the new man. I've chose to put off the old man. And I've chose to walk with Christ in the newness of life. Do we do that? We should. We should strive after righteousness and the truth and holiness. We should strive for that every single day of our life. We should be conformed, transformed, morphed, whatever you want to say, in the image of Christ. Instead of allowing all the other things to conform us and transform us and morph us, just walk with Jesus. Remove anything that's trying to change you into who you're not supposed to be. Just remove it. Put it off. You're walking in the newness of man. You've put on the new man. You're clothed in righteousness. You're clothed in holiness. You're clothed in truth. So we have this armor, okay? The Bible talks about having armor. Man, walk in it, okay? Walk in it. And it's going to take endurance. It's going to take practice. It's going to take doing it. But the more we do it, the more comfortable it will be to walk with like that. The more, it's like going to the gym. The first week of going to the gym, nobody likes that. We're like, this was stupid. This was a terrible idea. I don't like the way my body feels now. So I'm just not going to go anymore. That's what we do. And the same goes for walking with Jesus, because it's not going to be easy. It may not be comfortable. It may be actually harder than it was with the old man. That's truth. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff fighting against us that was for us before. But God will protect us, and he will help us, and he'll guide us, and he'll give us the strength that we need if we just allow him to do that. We say no to the old man and yes to Jesus. Watch what he can do. And watch the noticeable difference in your life. You won't walk like the old man anymore. You won't look like the old man anymore. You won't talk like the old man anymore. You begin to walk in the newness of life. And maybe you've been saved for 30 years and you were walking good with Jesus, but something came into your life and it stumbled you up, and all of a sudden you started walking with the limp again. You know, that little bit of gangster in you came back out. That it happens, right? It does. Something triggers because we didn't put it off. And it's still in. And something comes along and triggers it. Right? Drug addicts deal with this every single day. Believe me. Something can trigger something, and it can bring a thought right back into your mind. And if you don't put it off, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go start trying to put it on. You got to put it off immediately. You got to cast that stuff to the grave. You got to give it to God, and you got to just trust him. God, get me through this. It's the devil trying to get you to stumble. And it doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It doesn't have to be pornography. It doesn't have to be any of that stuff. Whatever makes you stumble, the devil's going to try to do it. He's seeking, he's lurking, he's trying, and he wants to trip you up. But because we're his enemy now. And he don't like that. He's like, you once were with me, now you're not. So now I'm against you, and guess what? We're against him too. But we have a big G God that can, man, we know the end of him. So don't give him a foothold in your life today. Make a conscious effort today to put on the new man and just attempt to walk with the Lord. Just attempt it. Just try it. Would you try it? Maybe it's not going to be easy. Maybe it's going to be, you're going to have a hard time. Maybe you just can't even walk. Well, that's what's really cool about the body of Christ, is that the church, the body, will rally around one another, will hold each other up, will teach each other how to walk, will teach each other how to talk, will teach each other how to walk with Jesus. That's what the church is for. That's what we have to be about. And I think we're about it. So let's get after it. Let's pray.